service. We can't walk this path intellectually. We can't walk this path by sitting and saying, I'm deepening myself. We can deepen ourselves by reading everything and doing, or in a small group forever and ever. Oh, we will be walking this path, I suppose, but not really as far as we can go. This path of a spiritual growth has an element of deepening, of understanding, but it is a deepening and understanding that comes in action, in service to others. So everyone has to walk this. Now, the point is that if we as Baha'is who are somewhere along this path, you know, somehow this starts here and we're going that way, and it is not a question of judgment who is ahead of whom, but I'm talking about basic conditions of understanding and capabilities and so on. So if somebody is standing here at some moment with certain capacities, he can teach the faith, he dedicates his time, some of his time to it and so on, and then other believers have just come in and he tries to describe to them and says, you should do this and this and that that I do, and they're sitting there and looking at him and they don't know how to walk from here to there. That is a very difficult task. So no wonder that only the very exceptional among these people will jump and become also the teachers and so on. And the majority of them just cannot do this as fast as one would want. So somehow we would have to come up, think of a different conception of mass teaching and consolidation, which allowed for people to move along this path at different speeds, at different velocities, and a nurturing process which would help people along until they can stand on their own two feet. Now, that nurturing process is a reality, is a spiritual reality that is necessary for everyone. So what happened is that we started looking at ourselves. We said, all right, how come I know the things I do? Why do I do the things? And in one of the meetings, we started trying to count the number of hours of Baha'i attention we had received in our life. And as we started looking, it turned out to be not in 5 or 10 or 50 hours, it was in the thousands. When we calculated the number of loving contacts we had had with other Baha'is who had tried to help us before we had declared or after the conferences, the contacts, it was in the thousands. And somehow everybody was expecting people who were coming in through mass conversion, because they were accepting quickly, after 10 hours or 20 hours of contact, everybody, why aren't they spiritual giants? Therefore, mass conversion is no good. What is this? They're not Baha'is. So this was the kind of what was really happening. We were expecting miracles from people who just hadn't received as much to be able to give as much as we expected. When we did that, we sort of began to feel a little ashamed of ourselves, because we figured, my goodness, they are really amazing people. With the amount of attention they have got, you go back to them and say, you're a Baha'i? Yes. And all he knows is, I've accepted Baha'u'llah. He doesn't know much more. Nobody has taught him much more. But something has happened to this person. who keeps that way with a little amount of attention that he has got from us. So this nurturing process becomes one of the most essential elements of mass conversion. Now, a nurturing process, it is very difficult for one person to nurture 1,000. You just cannot do that. But then you really don't have to do that. What you have to do is to set up a dynamics of this group of people where one person is nurturing maybe 8 or 10 people around him. They are giving something to others and others. So a vision of mass conversion begins to emerge, which is the movement of a population towards Baha'u'llah. If any member of this population is moving, is progressing towards Baha'u'llah, no matter how slowly, we should accept that mass consolidation, that consolidation is occurring. The problem is if nobody is moving, because we know that things have to move according to Abdul Baha. So either they move forward or backward, they can't stay. But it is not a question of why isn't everybody here. Here we have got 1,000 new Baha'is, so why aren't they all here? It is perfectly fine to accept that we have 1,000 new Baha'is who 900 of them have just made this a step, and maybe they get somebody else will visit them, and not as often as everybody wants to, every 3 months, and teaches them another concept about the faith, so they progress a little bit towards Baha'u'llah in their understanding and their spiritualization. But that the other 100 are moving faster, and that from that 100 there are 10 who are maybe progressing much more or studying much more. So you get a whole spread of this population along the path of spiritual progress, which is the natural thing. I mean, if this is the kind of thing that naturally will have to occur, there is no way for us to force it to be different. And our frustrations come when we try to manage things that are not manageable. We try to put things in molds that were not meant to be put in those molds. There are natural laws of growth. And one of the laws of growth is the diversity of the speed of growth in different people, in different communities. And so our organization, our conception of mass teaching and mass consolidation would have to be according to this concept of the whole population progressing towards Baha'u'llah. Now the other concept that had to be looked at was the concept of community. What do we mean? What is the nature of Baha'i community? We found out that often our conception of a Baha'i community in itself was something that couldn't grow. That growth, the way we thought about what a Baha'i community was, our own, was one in which when it got to be about 20 or 30 people, it just sort of closed itself. And it became an impediment to growth. Because what did we feel? The feeling was that a community is something that takes care of its members. You begin to think of the affairs of the 20 or 30, our own children, not the children of the 100,000 people we were concerned about, not all those children, but our own children. the 6-7 children. So the concept of, for example, children classes, Baha'i education, was for us, for our children. Rather than saying, in this 100,000 people that we want to move towards Baha'u'llah, there are 20,000 children. Let's go and teach them. And teach our own children in that process too. See, the concept of community was us. Try to manage our own affairs. Just to give you an example of the concept of unity was a concept of doing everything together. Was a concept of togetherness physically, rather than a concept that hundreds of people were involved in the conquest of a region, and that in groups, small groups, large groups, or whatever, were working towards this goal. So if we didn't do everything together, people would feel, some of us would feel a little uncomfortable. There's no unity in this community. So with that conception of unity, we restricted growth, because you can't be together with 2,000 people. You can be together with 20, 30, 50 maybe, and that's it. Then you stop. So somehow we had to change our conception of what a community at this stage of Baha'i development. What was really the purpose of a community? What was it a community of? Was it a community of soldiers for Baha'u'llah? Or was it a community of like any other community, of people who have, for mutual interest, have got together to be happy together? We should be happy together, and the unity brings us powers and so on. I'm not denying all that. But the question is, what is the purpose of all this? What are we a community of? And if we think about it, it is, at least for us, was clear that we wanted to be a community of soldiers for Baha'u'llah. And that was the basis of our unity. That conquest, that desire to conquer for Baha'u'llah. That was the reason of our being there, and that is what really united us. And that we had then to, instead of turning on ourselves, we opened up to others. So we didn't, you see, when a group of people get together, a small group of people get together, very quickly they begin to feel comfortable with each other. And their procedures, not the essence of the faith, but they begin to feel comfortable with certain procedures, which often other people from a little different culture, a little different class, a little different education and so on, won't do those things that way. And those people will feel uncomfortable with those procedures. So the community becomes a community of procedures, rather than a community of soldiers to conquer, for the conquest of a region where one lives, and a population where one lives. So these are just examples that I would like to share with you, to see that there are certain concepts and conceptions that we do have to think about and change in order to allow for the kind of growth that we are talking about. Now, the other set of changes that have to occur and still continue to have to occur, because we have only, in many of these countries, we are only scratching the surface, really, of of entry by troops, and we are having trouble. We get to a point, maybe the point isn't anymore 20, but when we get to have 50,000 Baha'is in a country, we don't know how to go to the next stage. We have to go back and consider everything again. Because surely the organization of growth is not the same when we grow from 1 to 9, and from 9 to 1,000, and we go from 1,000 to 50,000, and then beyond. Each one has its own dynamics, and we should accept that. We cannot continue with the organization of growth and teaching which was appropriate from going 1 to 9. And expect it to take us from 9 to 1,000. We have to think of different organization, different way of looking at it. Now, clearly, everything that happens in the faith is a result. Everything that finally manifests itself physically in the material world, in terms of numbers of new Baha'is and everything, is a result of a spiritual processes. We know that, all of us. Things first happen in the spiritual world, then they have their fruits that we see. They manifest themselves in the physical world. So, the teachers would have to really go through a great deal of thinking about the meaning of many of the spiritual qualities that they have always had, and begin to think that if we're going from this type of growth to this type of growth, then every quality I have will take a new meaning. Love, which was fine as much as I had it in this kind of growth, now we'll have to take a new dimension. I will have to make a jump from one level of love to another level of the understanding of the meaning of love, which now comes into the kind of love can tolerate total diversity, love that can love ignorance even, not be taken back by ignorance. It can accept people who are not as upright and wonderful as one and his immediate surroundings. So love begins to take a totally different dimension if we go from one of these stages to another. Surely faith, the meaning of faith changes. Faith becomes something much more, because the Baha'is are probably the only people in the world whose definition of what is different from the rest of the world. What, for us, what will be is. That's our definition. We look at potentials and say, we look at the Baha'i community as small as it is, and we say, The world order of Baha'u'llah is established. As far as we're concerned, it is established. It just will take some years to see it, but it is established. Right? Baha'is have this quality. In other words, we are those people who look at the seed and we say it is a tree. We don't say it is a seed. Now, that meaning of faith, which doesn't really come to play as much when we are in a small community, has to change, because it becomes now tested. Because we will have to look at a person who has just accepted Baha'u'llah very mysteriously, in a way that none of us would have, has said yes. We have explained to him who Baha'u'llah is. We haven't cheated him. We haven't told him, this is a wonderful united family, will you come to be a member of it? No, we have explained to him the covenant. We have explained to him the message of Baha'u'llah. the station of Baha'u'llah, and we have asked him, do you accept Baha'u'llah as the manifestation of God for today? And